Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of May 10th, 2018. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. And our other friend, Mariah Tinger, is attending to her academic duties, so she'll be around. She's busy today. We'll be back with us later on this month. Anyway, so DR, I understand that the state of California is roughly equivalent to the 11th largest economy in the world, or some such number. Maybe I don't have my numbers exactly right, but they when they make decisions on several fronts, when they make economic decisions, it has consequences. And it's my understanding that California has made the right call again recently, having to do with how they're going to build houses out in California. Can you tell me the story?
Yes, it was a news earthquake, if you will, no pun intended, coming out of California, where the California Energy Commission voted 5-0 to approve a policy to require the installment of solar panels on all new homes as of 2020. NPR notes that the Building Standards Commission in California still needs to approve this, but it's widely expected to do so. And in what's considered something of a shock, no real estate industry groups, no construction groups expressed any opposition. In fact, there was support expressed on the part of the construction industry for this policy, which is a major, major shock, although we can obviously predict there'll be ideological opposition from the usual suspects. When I first saw this story, I thought to myself, this proves, among other things, that it is impossible to be both a libertarian and a climate hawk. Because if you think about it, this is an example of, you know, in an attempt to fight climate change, government action is being deployed. And if you're a libertarian, you oppose the concept of government action being used to solve any sort of social problem. So this is something that's going to leave the Reason magazine crowd in a total furor, because this is government officials basically saying we can use our power for a positive purpose.
Right, which is, of course, the basis for many of the things we talk about, right? The common good being served by common action. But tell me, do you know if they've worked out any of the details about how big the solar panels would have to be? I mean, is it scaled by the size of the house, or is it as much as roof space as you can fit on? Or what if you're on the north side of Mount Shasta and you don't get any sunlight? Does it... Is it any information?
That's a good point. NPR reports that the policy in California would, quote, cover all low-rise residential buildings, although houses that are frequently in the shade are exempt, unquote. Mm-hmm. So it will be interesting to see the specific details and specific dynamics of the policy. It's interesting to note that in some of the reporting that for all the concern about whether or not this is going to cause home prices to go up, people who are supporting this policy will note that even if home prices go up slightly, it'll be offset by energy bills in those homes going down. Mm-hmm. So people will ultimately make out ahead.
It's interesting you say that the real estate people, the construction people, would typically would have some opposition to such a thing, certainly the real estate people. They're in support, you're saying. Generally speaking, they like the idea. I suppose there's more work for construction people, right? A more complex structure that you have to build. That is fantastic. I guess what that does, that feeds into all kinds of other things, right? Because if you have solar power on every house, then the utility grid must have to be modified to accommodate that. Right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the duck curve, right? The duck curve is some sort of curve of electricity demand against the hours of the day. And basically there's a big peak in the early hours of the day at the left-hand side of the chart, then the demand dips in the middle, and then the demand goes up again later in the day, 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, and that chart looks a little bit like a duck. And so that's the duck chart, and, I mean, that's intimately connected with where and how you produce electricity, right?
Exactly. It's, I mean,
Is there any, I mean, I know it's new breaking news, right? So this is all new, but it suggests that you would have to have a fair amount of battery storage to hold the electricity that's not used so that you can then redirect it come 5 o'clock when the sun's going down and people want to turn on the TV, right?
Mm-hmm. Indeed, and it's going to be interesting to see how this spreads to other states, because obviously California is a pioneer in a very big regard, and it's interesting that this news occurs just a couple of days after the death of the former California Governor George Dumekian, who is famous among other things for pushing California to divest of its holdings in apartheid South Africa, and how Dumekian's actions were seen as a catalyst for other states and other colleges and other institutions to divest, ultimately leading to the collapse of apartheid in South Africa. And it's going to be interesting to see in a moral movement that is every bit as important as the movement to end apartheid in South Africa, to see how California may indeed once again lead on this. Because, you know, why shouldn't Massachusetts do something like this? Why shouldn't Florida? Why shouldn't other states do this and basically say, you know, hey, any new construction has to have solar?
I mean, I would agree. We've said on this show more than once that the states are the laboratory of democracy, right? The mm-hmm. Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative is and will be at some future date a good model for a cap-and-trade system. What mm-hmm. California is doing with regard to these solar panels on residences is a model for the rest of us. And the rest of the states will look at it, see what works, what doesn't, and build on it. I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But I mean, as I say, there's so much that feeds into the idea, that sort of utopian circumstance where every house has, suppose you scaled it by the amount of solar panels on your roof are proportional to basically the square footage of the house, right? Mm-hmm. And every house could satisfy 50-60% of its demand. I mean, that would mm-hmm. be a great world to live in, wouldn't it? But it would require, as I said, modifications to the electric power grid, just because that's such a new world, right? You would need mm-hmm. less, not compressor stations, but transformer houses, right? But on the other hand,
absolutely.
The peak might be different, right? If it's really cloudy for a week, you might have to bring in power from somewhere else in California. Interesting dynamics.
Mm-hmm. And it goes to, and this is an example of, you know, remember the piece Bill McKibben wrote a few years ago about the need to have essentially, and Joe Rome also talked about it as well, a World War II style mobilization to fight climate change. This is certainly something that would be part of such a mobilization, would it not?
So tell me, you're good with words, DR. In World War II, they had victory gardens in the backyard where they were growing green beans to feed themselves. Mm-hmm. What's the analogous name? They're not victory solar panels, but somehow,
the victory roof,
right? It is something about the common effort, the camaraderie and teamwork required to fight back. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, God bless Jerry Brown in the state of California. And what's the name of the board again? The California.
Yes, there's a two boards. It's the California Energy Commission. Made the initial decision, and there's another building association that's going to have to ultimately sign off on it, according to NPR.
Mm-hmm. Well, so California, since we're in Massachusetts, we look at California with a fair degree of envy and competitiveness, because I think that we also here in Massachusetts see ourselves as leaders in this area, but California, certainly being such a big economy, has big impact, and what they are proposing here will have ramifications across the country. And to continue down that path of the importance of California to the rest of the country in terms of what the economics, shall we say, the green economy, we should touch on the fact that DR, you can probably explain it better than I can, but the effort by Scott Pruitt, the swamp monster from the EPA, to lower automobile efficient fuel efficiency standards, basically the gut, the Obama era progress that was made. Pruitt wants to basically roll back automobile efficiency. California is standing in the way, and California has now sued the federal government, I believe, right? California sued the feds. California, in concert with a bunch of other states, including Massachusetts, sued the federal government over the question of whether or not they had even the right to reduce the to reduce the expected miles per gallon that cars would get in the years 2020 to 2025. Right? Is that anywhere near accurate, DR?
Yeah, that's correct. The California Attorney General Javier Becerra has basically claimed, according to Think Progress, that, quote, the EPA has violated the Administrative Procedure Act, failed to follow its own clean car regulations, and violated the Clean Air Act. And this goes to the whole speculation that Scott Pruitt is so sloppy in his behavior that what he is trying to do may not survive court scrutiny. And it certainly would be a good thing if it turns out that his sloppiness effectively led to a loss on his part and a loss for the Trump administration and a win for clean air and for the planet.
But I think it's important for us to keep in mind, being realistic, that California is granted a waiver by the federal government in order to have these more aggressive fuel standards that then are used across the country. That's a waiver from the feds, right? Now, the feds now constitute Donald, the fascist goldfish Trump, and Scott Pruitt. Right? These are the two guys that have to grant the waiver to California, and so they may not want to grant that waiver, which will then kick off a whole new round of lawsuits over whether or not California should be allowed to continue with the traditional practice of the last 60 years where California can set its own mileage standards, which then would influence the nation.
Absolutely, it's going to be one hell of a court battle, and we should also note that according to the Washington Post and other reports, even the auto industry itself is not necessarily gung ho about getting rid of these standards. GM is quoted in a Washington Post report as saying that, quote, General Motors believes in all electric future, unquote. This is from Mark Rouse, executive vice president with GM, and according to the auto blog website, the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers has basically made it clear to the Trump administration that they, according to the Autoblog site, quote, want to reach an agreement with California to avoid a legal battle over fuel efficiency standards, and they support continued increases in mileage standards through 2025, unquote. Now, the obvious reason why is that in other parts of the world, they still have to sell cars to countries that want cleaner cars, want more fuel-efficient cars, and the auto industry, these automakers don't want to have to, you know, make several different types of cars for, you know, one car for the United States, another types of cars for other parts of the world. They want one uniform standard, so that's why they're basically pumping the brakes, if you will, on the idea of getting rid of these emission standards.
Yeah, and that is an intriguing, pragmatic, realistic kind of approach brought by the auto industry, at least this portion of the auto industry. And I guess we should just say in passing that Scott Pruitt continues to be a scoundrel, and there have been repeated news articles of just indications of all the terrible stuff he's doing. I think the New York Times, without doing a deep dive into the whole thing, but had New York Times posted something like 10,000 emails showing the great lengths that the EPA under Pruitt has gone to avoid ever talking to reporters and all that kind of stuff. Scott Pruitt, we need to keep up the pressure on just how bad Scott Pruitt is to get rid of him, so that I'm afraid to say the next guy in line is also a cold person.
There are dictators in developing countries that don't have the type of secrecy that this guy is engaged in.
So California is doing these two very important things on the fuel standard and on this positive thing on the solar panels. Massachusetts tries to follow suit where it can with the good work of California. We should note that here in Massachusetts, there are a couple of bills before the House of the Massachusetts legislature. Now, you should know that The Massachusetts legislature is heading into the closing of its session. That is to say, there'll be new elections in November of this year, and they'll start all over again. So the two-year session is coming to an end this summer, which means a lot of bills that have been floating around unaddressed are all of a sudden going to go to the top of the queue. And people should know that over the next couple of months, discussions of the Pacheco Energy Bill, which is Senator Mark Pacheco from Taunton, has a really great bill that calls for all kinds of good stuff, particularly improvements in the amount of energy, clean energy, that the utilities have to buy. It increases by 2% each year. That's a great thing. There's also a bill floating around from the governor talking about inspecting homes, doing an energy inspection of homes at the point of sale, which is not that different from the residential effort out in California to put solar panels on everyone's roof, but at least here in Massachusetts we'll be inspecting. So there are two big bills there. You should contact your representative and say that you like the Pacheco bill. That's a particularly good one to lobby for. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have to put it down there. We've consumed 16 minutes of our dear listeners' time. Good for California. They're doing the right thing. Solar panel on every roof. What was the line? A chicken in every pot? Isn't that some campaign? We got
a chicken
in every pot. We got a victory garden in the backyard and victory roofs in California.
Let the sunshine in.
Let the sunshine in. Anyway, we'll put up some links to some of the stuff we talked about. We covered a lot of ground tonight, but we'll put up some links on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find this podcast on our Facebook page at /massclimateaction. Please share us. There's lots of other interesting things on that Facebook page. Check it out. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using most of the podcast distribution apps. I particularly like Stitcher, but you can do Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, etc. And of course, we are on Apple Podcast as well. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So, DR, thanks as always for your wisdom and insight.
Thanks.
It's good to have you here. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Very cool.